While we wait for Dr. Lyman to come up, if you could please, there are evaluation forms, if you can start filling them out now, at least until the end, the last part, that would help us. And I just want to say, if I can very briefly introduce Dr. Lyman, that it's really an honor and a pleasure to have him here. He is really a scholar. That's really the best thing I can say. I know of no one who combines learning in the classical sense and scholarship in one person as he does. And believe me, his library is well over 10,000 books. And so he's got every book you ever heard of. Not only does he have, but he knows what it says inside. So just let him talk now.
I'd like to thank Rabbi Kelman for his kind and exaggerated words of introduction. He read them exactly as I wrote them. I'm going to read to you a few excerpts from a great classic of the Haskalah, modern Jewish writer. I'll translate anything I read in Hebrew, I'll translate, including the text that you have in front of you. Famous story, the title of the short story is Shlosha She'achlu, Three Who Ate. Of course, that language is taken from the Mishnah. It's a very famous Mishnah in Masechet Brachot and in Masechet Avot as well. Ma'aseh b'shlosha she'achlu. So it opens up, this is a story about three who ate. Lo be'echad hayamim ha'pshutim yinei shabtot Hashem achlu et asher achlu. We're not talking about three people who ate on an ordinary Shabbos. Ki in b'yom ha'kippurim, we're talking about three people who ate on Yom Kippur. And not only an ordinary Yom Kippur, b'yom ha'kippurim shechol liot b'shabbat. Yom Kippur that fell on Shabbos. Lo b'mkom seiter be'ein ro'eh. We're not talking about people who ate on Yom Kippur in secret. They ate before the entire community of Israel. In the great synagogue of Vilna. And we're not talking about three sinners, three ignorant people who ate. Lo kaleida tayu shloshet anashim hayim ki minisiyei ha'ida v'atzileh ha'achim nechvadim, but we're talking about leaders of the Jewish community. Alohim Rav Tzair v'shnei ha'dayanim asher imo, was a young rabbi. I'm sorry, Rav Ha'ir, a rabbi of the city and two members of his rabbinic court. B'chol zeh einei kol Yisrael hayu tluyot aleihem b'yirah v'chavod, and despite the fact that they ate, everybody looked at them with great honor. They were holy in the eyes of the Jewish community. And I'm just trying to pick out the key issues in this short story. It was the day of Yom Kippur, afternoon. Al habima asher betoch beit hakneset omed harav v'komatoz kufa lemaod. And the rabbi got up on the bima in the shul on Yom Kippur. V'gam ata im ezgor rega echad et afapai od ere oto b'amdo sham al habima. Now the author writes, who was present presumably, even now, even if I close my eyes, or when I close my eyes, I can picture the scene. The rabbi standing on the bima, and I can still picture him pointing to two dayanim, signaling to them, he wants them to come over to him on the bima. And I can still picture the scene, the two dayanim joining him on the bima. A tall rabbi. Shnei ha'dayanim ha'ktanim, two shorter dayanim, mimenu omdim, mimino mismolo, one at his right and one at his left. Ma yidaber harav bosnehen b'kol melach hashim. What is it that the rabbi is whispering in their ears? Lama yiyu panav p'nei l'havim u'p'nehem hima yalbinu kimosid. How come the rabbi's face was red, ruddy like fire, and their faces were white, like lime? U'p'ton v'ozni shomat. And then I finally heard kol dvarim v'lo avin lahem adma. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He eventually begins to understand what's happening. And what's happening is the rabbi is ordering the dayanim to bring in mizonos, to bring in little cakes and cookies, so that everyone will eat on Yom Kippur. And the rabbi got up and announced that everybody should make a bari min mizonos and eat cake, and they all refused. Nobody in the Jewish community of Vilna was prepared to eat on Yom Kippur. Upitom pnei yish Elohim yalbinu admo, the rabbi turned white. Oz yorid rosho rega echad v'anacha gdola v'charishit overet mikzei habayit v'at katzeyu v'acherei anacha kol hamula ritzon Elohim hu. The rabbi announced from the pulpit, this is God's requirement. I am 80 years old today. I have never violated a Jewish law. But today it is obligatory that we violate Jewish law. Torahi mitzvahi achin ritzon Elokim hu. This is what God desires. Shamash, and he called out for the shamash of the shul. Shamash yavo v'rav yidaber baznav dvarim achadim acharei chen yidaber dvarim achadim gam baznei adayanim asharimo v'heim yaniyu b'rashayim. The dayanim shook their heads agreeing with the rabbi. K'modim lo al dvarav ben kol cho v'ashamash mivim mibet harav asher b'chatzer kosot yayin l'kadesh v'ugot matzot k'tanot. So they brought wine now to make kiddush. It was Shabbos, Yom Kippur. And to bring small cakes or mizonos. V'ani im shanim harbe yechye. The author writes, if I should live forever. V'im kechol harbe yanim. Et hayom ahu v'et amareh ha-gadol v'anara hazeh lo eshkach la-netzach. I'll never forget this scene. V'gam ata im ezgor rega echad et afapai einai od ere otam l'negdi shlosha shachlu. The rabbi got up in a kiddush, and he and his two dayanim were eating in front of the entire kehila in Vilna. Shloshet roei Yisrael lomdim al abima asher bevet haKnesset v'hem ochlim l'nei kol Yisrael b'yom haKippurim. There's more to the story. Read it. This is a famous story by David Frischman. Shlosha she'achlu. It's published at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. Did this really happen? When? Where? I told you already, Vilna. He doesn't really mention Vilna in the story. So I want you to look at the pages that you have in front of you. We're going to start with passage 1. Passage 1 occurs in a very distinguished historical volume, very different from all the volumes you heard about today. This is Ir Vilna by Hillel Noach Magid Steinschneider, one of the great Jewish historians of Eastern Europe, who wrote a history of the city of Vilna. He actually edited an earlier history called Kirya Nemana by Shmuel Yosef Finn, and then in Vilna in 1900, he published a second history supplementing the first one called Ir Vilna, a great classic. And now we'll read together, and I'll translate as we read it. From the top line, Bishnat Tarach, so in the year, Hebrew date here would be 1848, בשנת תרח, near 1848, ביות מחלת החולירה הגדולה בירנו, and there was a cholera epidemic in Vilna, הרים כשופר קולו לחזק הלבבות, להושיע איש את רעיהו בכוח, בכסף ובעיצה. He, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, this is in his Ir Vilna, he describes in one section the life of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was a very prominent citizen of the city of Vilna in the middle of the 19th century. Yisrael Salanter was for a while Rosh Yeshiva in the Ramaylis Yeshiva, and then he left the Ramaylis Yeshiva in Vilna, and he went to a suburb of Vilna called Zaretsche, and he served as Rosh Yeshiva of his own yeshiva in Zaretsche in Vilna. Anyway, during the cholera epidemic, here it says 1848, Hirim Kishofar Kolo, etc. He got involved very much in helping the Jews during this cholera epidemic, strengthening Jews and doing what needed to be done so that the cholera epidemic could be contained. He, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, allowed the violation of Shabbos. And the Erev he means on Yom Kippur. Ve'erev Yom HaKippurim bishnat Tarat. This is quite correct. So in the Hebrew year Tofresh Tet, which was still 1848, Ve'erev Yom HaKippurim, Erev Yom Kippur, in the year 1848, he bik modaot b'chol batei ha'knesiot, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter posted posters on all synagogues in Vilna. There were well over 100 synagogues. Shelo lehitanot b'yom HaKodesh, Yom HaKadosh HaNora HaZeh, not to fast on Yom Kippur, lekatzer b'piyutim, lelechet l'tayel b'chutzot ha'il ruach hayom. Moreover, that they should cut back on the payet, the Hebrew poetry that's included in the Machzor. You should skip the medieval poems in the Machzor, lelechet l'tayel, and everyone should have more free time on Yom Kippur, and should take walks outside, excursions, breathing fresh air. Lelechet l'tayel b'chutzot ha'il ruach hayom. Ulamacharato, and on Yom Kippur itself, achar tfilat shacharit, after the morning service, lakach biyado ma'ase ofe, he took some cake, va'ala ala bima, he got up on the bima, va'yavarech borei mine mizonot, he made a bracha publicly on Yom Kippur, va'achal la'enei kolakahal, and he ate in front of everybody. Laman yireham v'chein yase, that everybody should see from him as a model and do Rabbi Yisrael Hichzik Bidat Hamandi Amar Makom Sakanat Nefashot Kocha De Tera Odef. Rabbi Yisrael held that this was a cholera epidemic, this was danger to life, and in such cases it's time to be Makil, and so he deliberately made a Bori Minimizonos, broke his fast, even though his life wasn't in danger, but that was to show everybody else what to do on Yom Kippur. V'yakar haya beinav chayei nefesh achat mikol hon. The life of any one Jew was more valuable to him than all the treasures in the world. So here we have a very serious historian, not writing modern Hebrew literature as Frischmann, but here we have an actual historian recording what happened in that fateful year, that in fact the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter made a Bori Min Mizonos in public and encouraged everybody else to do the same. That's our first source. We go to our second historical source, which comes from a wonderful book called, a Yiddish book called Gdolim von unsere Zeit. It was written by Yaakov Mark, a balabas, not a rabbi, a very knowledgeable Jew, who lived in the first quarter of the 20th century. The book was published in New York in 1927. You'll help me with the Yiddish here. We're going to read this together. You have it in front of you, passage 2. Ich will mir da aufstellen, auf ein gewisse Maße, this is in his biography of Rousseau Salanter. He says, I want to here present to you a specific matter, a story that occurred, an event. Ein gewisse Maße was, wird erzählt von Rabbi Yisrael, which is told about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, als als in a Cholerjahr, soll haben Yom Kippur. That's right. In the year of the cholera epidemic, Zol haben Yom Kippur öffentlich gemacht Kiddush in der Vilna Große Schule. It is said that he made Kiddush on Yom Kippur. Notice, by the way, in the text passage 1 that we read, it said nothing about Kiddush. It just said that he made a Bori Min HaMizonos. But now we're in our second account. People say that he made Kiddush in the main shul of Vilna, the greatest shul of Vilna. I don't know how many of you visited Vilna, but at one time in the center of Vilna, it was called the Shulhof, the courtyard of all the shuls. That's where the Vilna Gaon's Beis Medrash was, among others. And it was one massive shul that sat 3,000 people, which survived World War II and was destroyed by Stalin after World War II. That's the greatest shul of Vilna, the Beis Knesset HaGadol of Vilna. Anyway, he got up in the Greuser Shul, it says here, in Vilna, Kedei der Eilem, Zolnit Velen Fasten, so that the community should not fast, und nicht achten dich auf die Protesten von die Vilna Meure Herois. And he did this despite the protests of the Dayanim of Vilna. Dayanim of Vilna said, you can't be done. But the Yisrael got up and he made Kiddush on Yom Kippur and Shabbos in that year. Die Dose der Passierung ist schon sogar rein in der Literatur. This famous story already entered Jewish literature. Remember, this is being written in 1927. It already entered Jewish literature. Parentheses. Ein ihr Vilna, sie ihr Vilna. That's passage 1. Von Steinschneider. Shloshu Shalachlu Frishman, that's what I read to you first. Al Sanemis the fact, this is presented as truth. Abadames is das not a legenda. This is only a legend. Yichabamol gehat ashmuas vegendein mit Rabbi Shimon Strashun von Vilna. He says, I once had a private conversation with Rabbi Shimon Strashun, a great dignitary in the city of Vilna, a member of the Strashun family. Was his God gevein damals in shul, an eyewitness who was in the Vilna shul when this happened. Und leit wie hat mir erzählt, is the Maisa Zeigevein. He told me the story as follows. Erev Yom Kippur to be saw mit dem Hesken von dem Meroi Reus, glost einklepp in Meroi's, Erev Yom Kippur, with the permission of the Morei HaRoes of Vilna. I don't know how many of you know, in Vilna there were many, many, many rabbis. The official title of every rabbi in Vilna was Morei Tzedek. Morei Tzedek. And one rabbi was the head of all the Morei Tzedeks. He also had the title Morei Tzedek, but he also had the title Magid Meshorim. And there was no Av Bezdin in Vilna. No one was allowed to have the title Chief Rabbi of Vilna after the last Chief Rabbi, a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon, died. Let's read a little further. So, mit Heskim from the Meir Ros, with all those who had the title Moritz Tzedek, there was an agreement of all the rabbis in Vilna that at the last Einklepp in Meidois and alle Schulen, they posted announcements in all schools at Zulib di Arumge in the Krankheit because of the cholera epidemic. Zolmin kein piot nitzogen. What the rabbis posted Erev Yom Kippur was a sign saying that they will skip all the piotim. They're going to have a short service on Yom Kippur. Mekatze sein in Tfilus wie weit möglich. Und was mehr sitzen auf frische Luft. So they wanted, they shortened the services for all the shuls in Vilna, and they announced that everybody should make sure to spend more time outdoors breathing fresh air. In die Stiblach von alle Schulen soll man zugreiten zu Stiklach Lekech von Achetzi Shur. And the rabbis posted that in every shul, in every minyan in Vilna, all those over 100 minyanim, in the foyer outside the shul, they should set up tables with little pieces of cake. Pachas, less than the shear that's forbidden min HaTorah to eat on Yom Kippur. So this way you're not over a Torah violation. Pachas mikashir. Das zu gebräuchen, wenn es wird nötig sein. It should be there for those who need it. Should somebody feel ill, should somebody feel weak, then it's waiting for them right away. They can go over to those tables and consume the mizonos. Yom Kippur noch Shachris is Rabbi Yisrael arop gegangen auf dem Bima. It's true. Yom Kippur, Shabbos Yom Kippur during the day, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter got up in front of the entire community. In the Geist of Shul, Maidia Gevein de Melem, and he announced to the entire community, as Yeder Einer, das fühlt sich schwach, anybody who feels weak, darf nicht fragen kein Doktor, you don't have to consult a doctor, und mega reingehen in Stiebel, can go into the foyer, was zu genissen, and eat as much as necessary. Aber essen mit Hafsakis, but make sure you eat little bits of cookie at a time, so you're eating less than the amount that would have you in violation of biblical law. Vidavim is, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, kidei nitzu kumin zu anisu deoraisa, so as not to violate Torah law. Nachdem v'Rabbi Yisrael is aruntergegangen, so he made this announcement, then he went off the bima, went down from the bima. Is a reip of the bima der hoyt meir ha'roah. Remember, I told you there was one meir ha'roah who was the head of all the meir ha'roahs, who had the additional title of Magid Meshorim. Immediately after Yisrael came down, the leading rabbi in Vilna at the time, Rabbi Tzalel HaKohen, very great rabbi, his Argos on Shas are printed in the back of every Masechta in the Vilna Shas. He's the author of the famous Sefer of Shas and Shuvas, Rishis Bikurim, and so on. And a really amazing Gaon. He got up right after Yisrael came down. Und protestiert, in Namen von dem Meir HaRoes, and he protested against what Yisrael Salanter had just announced from the Bima. You think you have problems. Or if them hetter to essen stamkos, what did Yisrael Salanter say according to this account? What he said was they don't have to consult a doctor. Anyone who felt it necessary to eat the cookies can go out and eat the cookies. He, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, gives them the hetter. The Shulchan Aruch, the din is you have to consult a doctor first. So they got up immediately, the Mor HaRos, and they said they protested with what he said, and didn't forget anything by a doctor, or by the emes, hot of Yisrael, alein, gone it time today. We have an eyewitness who says that he didn't make Kiddush, he didn't make a boring mina mizonos, all he did was announce from the bima that the cookies are ready outside, and anyone who feels it necessary should go outside and eat the cookies. That's our second account. So we have conflicting accounts. We have two serious. We have the Ir Vilna, which presents this much broader account of Yisrael making Kiddush and so on and so forth. Well, he says eating mizonos, but Frischman adds that he made Kiddush as well. And we have this specific account in passage 2. And let me tell you, we have many more accounts, and probably the most famous account is the account in a book called Makor Baruch, or Baruch HaLevi Epstein, who wrote a massive four-volume work, a wonderful, more or less, biography of his uncle, the Netziv, which itself is a book that we could talk about for hours in terms of the banning of books and so on. In any event, all that comes from this book, Makor Baruch, or Baruch HaLevi Epstein was a very learned rabbi, the author of the Torah Tmima, lived at the end of the 19th, the beginning of the 20th century, a graduate of the Volozhin Yeshiva, who made his way to America, was the secretary of the Agudas Rabbanim of America for many years. And anyway, in this book, he gives it a glorified account of Yisrael Salanter, and he describes in vivid detail how Yisrael Salanter made Kiddush and made a bird mina mizonos, and he dates it to 1870, which is altogether wrong. Okay. No one else has the date that he gives for this. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was not in Vilna in the city in the year 1870. Still another independent account occurs in the writings of the late Professor Louis Ginsberg, who also was knowledgeable in these matters. And I'll just read you his account. This is in his book, Students, Scholars, and Saints, so you can look it up yourself. The year before this, he had gotten himself into the bad graces of the spiritual leaders of Vilna, that is, Yisrael Salanter. In the year of the frightful cholera epidemic, Salanter, after having taken counsel with a number of physicians, became convinced that in the interest of the health of the community, it would be necessary to dispense with fasting on the Day of Atonement. Many a rabbi in this large community was inclined to agree with his view, but none of them could gather courage enough to announce the dispensation publicly. During the several years of his stay in Vilna, he lived strictly the life of a private man, and in his humility would not decide a question of ritual, not even if it occurred in his own house, but would always refer to one of the local rabbis. When he saw, however, that none of them would act in this case, he thought self-assertion to be his highest duty. He affixed announcements in all synagogues advising the people not to fast on the coming Day of Atonement. Knowing, however, how reluctant they would be to follow his written advice, he, on the morning of the Day of Atonement, at one of the most solemn moments of the service, ascended the reader's desk after addressing a few sentences to the congregation, in which he commanded them to follow his example. He produced some cake and wine, pronounced the blessing over them, ate and drank. So Louis Ginsberg, who in a footnote cites who he learned this from, it's none of the sources we have here, from other sources. Now, this is even more radical than everything we read till now. Not only did he make Kiddush and make a Bar Mizonos, but he posted before Yom Kippur that no one should fast on Yom Kippur altogether. That's quite amazing. This is printed by a very distinguished scholar, Louis Ginsberg. Of course, he was not an eyewitness to this event. We also have the evidence of the Chafetz Chaim. So I'm going to ask you now to turn to the backside, page 2. Passage 3. This was published in New York in 1937. This is a biography of the Chafetz Chaim by Rabbi Yosher. Das Leben und Schaffen von Chafetz Chaim, Life and Works of the Chafetz Chaim. And let's read this together. It's worth looking at. Leut wie es hat dem Schreiber übergegeben, Rav Agon Rav David Leibowitz. So the author of Ayosher, who is a student of the Chafetz Chaim, said he heard this from Rabbi David Leibowitz, a very famous Rosh Yeshiva, the founder of the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva in New York. Who was a great nephew of the Chafetz Chaim. So I heard from David Leibowitz that Eralein Gehet, sein uncle, really means his great uncle, then Chafetz Chaim, der Zeilen, he said it in the name of the Chafetz Chaim. As the fall mitzvai vachen, this means 2 weeks before the Chafetz Chaim's father's death. The Chafetz Chaim's father died when he was 47 years old in Vilna, right after this epidemic. 2 weeks after the epidemic. In fact, he died from the cholera epidemic. So, as before mitzvei vachin, 2 weeks before the death of his father, Yom Kippur, was on Yom Kippur, is dem goyim v'tzadik Rav Yisrael Salanter nitrechendik zich. Bitten protest from einige rabbonim, he didn't worry, he didn't concern himself with the protests of some of the rabbis in Vilna. In der fri noch shachris, a roip of der bima, he went up on the bima, und hot bifnei kol ha'eda, in front of the entire community, gemacht kiddush, und verbeißen, kedei zu wirken auf den Eulen. So he made kiddush, he made a bar mitzvah, said he ate, all this to impress upon the audience how important it is, as if anyone who feels weak, wer es fällt sich schwach, soll nicht fasten, should not fast. Weil Leute meinen von alle Doktoren mit welchen Rabbi Yisrael hat sich bevor Erev Yom Kippur gehad miyashu gewen. This is very nice. Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he says, consulted doctors Erev Yom Kippur about the cholera epidemic and so on. So it wasn't a question that they had to consult the doctor now. He already did the consulting for Klal Yisrael. And the doctors told him that given the circumstances of the cholera epidemic, that's pikuach nefesh, and there's no need to consult a doctor for every person individually on Kippur. If they feel they need to eat, they can go eat. Hot bei jenen Umständen zu fasten, gemeint sei konnes ne Frosches. In azar fall hat er Yisrael, welch is allemal gewein, mach mir auf sich. Ob hitten dich alle Dinen, even though Rabbi Yisrael always followed everything exactly as it says in the Shulchan Aruch, where you're supposed to first consult a doctor before you allow anybody to eat, and so on and so forth. Came all before, kein Shailus nit gewollt Paskin, and moreover, he didn't want the Paskin earlier. Sounds a lot like Ginsberg. Gestellt euch sich und sich nit zugehört zu keine Machmirim. He didn't care about what the other rabbis had to say. Also Yisrael is gewein gerecht, but the vision, the fact, and to prove that Yisrael was right about this, was the Magefe is gleich nach Yom Kippur for Klanet Gevarn. The immediately following everything he did, preparing everybody for Yom Kippur, very few people died. Unfortunately, one who did die was the Chofetz Chaim's father 2 weeks later. Und in a kurze Zeit, and a short while later, nachdem is ganzen verschwunden. The whole cholera epidemic came to an end. Das stimmt mit der Erzählung von der Dr. Louis Ginsberg. This account that David Leibowitz said he heard from the Chafetz Chaim is in harmony, largely, with the account of Dr. Louis Ginsberg, which I already read to you, in sein englischer Buch, Students, Scholars, and Saints, if you didn't know how to write that in Yiddish. Okay. All right. So here it is. This is in the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim by Rabbi Yosher. By the way, this has now appeared in English translation, in published by Art Scroll, the official, very thick biography of the Chafetz Chaim. You'll find this passage there, except somehow the printer forgot to include Louis Ginsberg's name in his footnote. Some new information was added by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the great Gaon and former resident of Toronto and the father of Making of a Gadol. And that appears in passage 4. This was published in Cleveland in the year 2000, as you can see. A wonderful little sidelight on this whole story. Again, Rav David Leibowitz said he heard this from the Chafetz Chaim, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky heard it from Rav David Leibowitz. Let's read the second paragraph. Sipur li agon Rav David Leibowitz shlita sheshoma hu sipur zemi bala Chofetz Chaim zal shebisho shehiti ragri salanter v'toam ba'atzmo Yom Kippur in the Vilna. So you see that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said that he ate on Yom Kippur in front of everybody, presumably. His minu lebezdin, the Kibbutz Kedoshim of Vilna, he was summoned to court by the Bezdin of Vilna, the Donu Shameza Onesh Yanishu, and they decided on some punishment that was due him for announcing publicly a practice that without consulting the Bezdin of Vilna. And by the way, Bishrol Salanta was born in the year 1810. So this happened in 1848, where Yisrael Salanta was 38 years old. There were all these rabbis with long gray beards, the Morei Haroah Vilna. He didn't consult them. He got up on the bima. He, Rabbi Yisrael, at 38 years old, and he announces a new halacha. So here it is. They called him in, and they were going to punish him. Amar Agron, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta lehem, she'im hein yachlitu odoso eze onesh, if they're prepared to punish him for his psak halacha, which they didn't agree with, Yivsol kol agitin shenichtu bebezdin zeh. He knows a flaw in every get that was written by the rabbis of Vilna, and he will publicize the flaw in every get, and you can imagine what's going to happen in Vilna. So, all right, the rest of this story you can read on your own, but I just want to tell you there's even this little piece of evidence that's come to light recently. And now you'll see why I'm presenting all this. The fullest account in all of Jewish literature of this episode, this new book, Nathan Kamenetsky, Making of a Goat. He adds material here that we've not seen before. And God bless him for it. You'll see in a minute. But this will serve, and that's why I'm focusing on this and only on this in this presentation, this will serve as a model for the historical method used by Rabbi Kamenetsky. So I'm going to read to you from Making of a Gadol. Now, he has gathered together here an incredible number of sources, and that's the great value of the book. This is a gold mine of information. Make no mistake about it. And anybody who's really interested in the history of this period, no matter who it is, the greatest academic scholar, is going to have to read this book and use it. So I'm going to read to you a few key passages. I'll read three passages only. Passage one. This comes from the Salanter interview. Now, if you're reading this book and you're wondering what the Salanter interview is, you're going to have a very hard time finding out, because the footnote says, first of all, the footnotes are written in a new language. You have to learn the script of the footnotes. I can't even tell you what the footnote is, but if I had a blackboard here, I would show you the picture. It looks like the pound sign in England and, I guess, Canada. All right. Anyway, the Salanter interview, footnote, pound sign. So you go to the bottom page where there are all sorts of scribbles with strange footnotes, and you have to locate the pound sign. If you find the pound sign, if you're lucky enough to see it, it will say, and I'm going to read the note, it says, that it says in the Salanter interview. I'd like to know what the Salanter interview is. It says, see chapter 3, excursus S. And also C, small c, below. Now, you look there a long time, you're not going to find what the Salanta interview is. Anyway, but there's a way of solving it. You learn how to use this book. Turns out the Salanta interview was a particular person who came and interviewed Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, his father, and the subject of the conversation was Yisrael Salanter. And it is recorded, it was tape recorded, and that's what he's citing. So you need that tape in order to know this. It doesn't appear in any printed version. My father added, Kaidanover Chasidim, Husreba, the scion of Zhelekover Rebbes, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta must have strongly opposed, attributed a Yisrael stroke to a curse the Rebbe had imprecated upon him. That Rabbi Yisrael Salanta died from a stroke. Question is why. All right. So in this interview, Rav Yaakov mentioned something about a curse from the Kaidanova Hasidim. Okay. Our protagonist, you would need several dictionaries to figure out what our protagonist means, but you learn after you read this book, that's a circumlocution for his father. Okay. So that means Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Our protagonist was unaware of any particular run-in between the Salanter and the Rebbe. but could otherwise not comprehend why the Hasidim would come up with such an explanation. Quote, they said the curse was laid on Rabbi Yisrael when during the cholera epidemic in Vilna in 5608-5609, end of 1848, it's quite correct, he announced in the synagogue on Yom Kippur morning, Shabbos, October 7th, 1848, that everyone had to break his fast, my father said. Quote, he proceeded to set a personal example by making Kiddush on the Bima, unquote. So now we have a new passage. And this is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky now being quoted in this book as having a tradition that he made Kiddush on the Bima. And this led ultimately to his being cursed. I'm not interested in that part of the story. I'm just interested in the evidence that here we have a new piece of evidence, an oral tradition of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that he actually made Kiddush on the Bima. That's passage one. Passage two. In BIS, don't ask what BIS is, another tape recording of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. In BIS, my father described this Yom Kippur act somewhat differently and pinpointed where it had happened when he said, quote, before the reading of the Torah, a goy brought a samovar of hot tea with glasses into the Zaret Shekloyes, where Rabbi Yisrael davened. So before the reading of the Torah, this is we're talking about Shabbos Yom Kippur of the cholera epidemic. Let's read it again. A goy brought a samovar of hot tea with glasses into the Zaret Shekloyes, the name of the shul, where Rabbi Yisrael davened. Rabbi Yisrael took a glass of tea and summoned the congregation to follow suit. Now here we have a whole different version. It wasn't wine, it was tea. And Rabbi Yisrael had a cup of tea, and everybody else followed suit. Moreover, it was in the Zaret Shekloyes. Now, I don't think he knew what this really meant, but maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. Next time I see him, believe me, I'll ask him. I have no secrets, I'm not hiding anything from him. Anything I tell you, I would tell him. I also speak to him. The Zaret Shekloyes, Vilna is, I don't know Toronto well enough, so I can't describe the distance, but the main shul is in the heart of the community. Zaretsha is a sub-community, a suburb outside the heart of the city. I would say it's about a 20-minute walk from the main shul to the Zaretsha. I've walked it many times, the main shul in Zaretsha. And it was in the main shul of Zaretsha where Yisrael Salanta was Rosh Hashiva, and that's where he used to daven. So here the story says that he was drinking tea in the Zaret Shekloyes and he asked everybody else to follow suit. This is somewhat a different story. Now, count three. Third account, all within two pages of the book. No, I'm sorry. Now we come to Rabbi Nathan Kamenetsky's analysis of the various accounts. Now remember, he knows everything I read, pretty much. He knew about Ir Vilna. He has footnotes here. Man missed nothing. The erudition is incredible. So he knows all the various accounts that you heard so far. Plus, he knows more than all of us know because he knew these accounts of his father, etc. And now he writes as follows. As what Rabbi Yisrael actually did to break the fast, my father may have agreed with those accounts that he ate cake and drank wine. And my father thought that he also had some hot tea also. That's what it says. And what I just described and read to you captures the strengths and the weaknesses of this book. As I say, the author's erudition is staggering, and none of us have even intimated how staggering it is. It is staggering. It's an incredible book. He knows virtually all the sources about almost anything he talks about. Unfortunately, he is not a historian. He doesn't know how to distinguish fact from fiction. He has not mastered historical methodology. And you don't dissolve discrepancies by combining them all together into one account. Now, it turns out he's actually omitted an important source with all his striking erudition in this particular case. And the significant one at that, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had children. And he had a son by the name of Rabbi Yitzchok Lipkin. We actually have a photograph of Rabbi Yitzchok Lipkin, by the way. We have a photograph of other sons of Rabbi Yisrael as well. But I'm mentioning this to you for the those who are fans of Rabbi Yisrael, as I am, there is no photograph in existence of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Even though he died in 1883, the camera was well invented. There is no photograph in existence of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. But we have photographs of his children. And there are eyewitnesses who knew Rabbi Yisrael and knew his children. And they testify that Rabbi Yitzchak Lipkin was the spitting image of his father. He looked exactly as his father. That's available to you. So if you want to remember that, at least you got something out of this presentation. All right. But Rabbi Yitzchak Lipkin left us a diary. I just happen to have a copy with me. It's actually recently been published. It's available to all in a sefer called Kadosh Yisrael. A wonderful sefer, by the way. This is an anthology of the writings of, unknown writings of, in some cases, unpublished writings of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, including the diary of his son, Rabbi Yitzchak, which is the fullest account we have of that cholera epidemic in 1848. It's a wonderful account to read. And I'm just going to read the one key paragraph, you know, that relates to what actually happened at Yom Kippur. There's more about what happened on that Yom Kippur. Eis hecholira lo aleinu, kishebo Yom Kippur, when that cholera epidemic took place in Vilna, kishebo Yom Kippur v'yodua shehu hitir likach pochos mikashir. And he was matir, eating less than a shear of mizonos. And he made this decision only at the evening, the eve of Yom Kippur. The Yadua Sha'omar Oz B'Yom Kippur, Barabim Shahum Kabbalah of Kol Yisrael, Shamoret Sedek, Kulam Yikabla Aleim, Echad Asher Chasin Shalom Yerlam, Yizerah Chasin Shalom, Vitzorech Lukula Lusnif, Achil Hashem, Vitzirech Lukula. This paragraph is crucial because here is the tradition that was known in the family. And what Rabbi Yitzchak says is, everybody knows what happened is, the only thing he was matir, he doesn't say a word about Kiddush, he didn't drink wine, but he got up and he was matir that everybody could go out and eat pochos mikashir, which was at doctor. And by the way, I can account for, I'll add this just as an aside, I can account, where did this come from, this notion that he put up posters and he said everybody should eat on Yom Kippur? Even before Yom Kippur, he said, he just, you know, abolished the fast, as it were. This is very strange that anyone would say that. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would even think of such a thing. Who would even imagine that? So, and why were the Morei Tzedek so sensitive? What were they so worried about? I have an amazing little article with me here, written many, many years ago. This is a history of, as many of you know, that in Vilna there was a Beis Medrash LaRabbanim. That is, the Tsar established in Vilna in the 1840s, a special school for training rabbis. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was offered the post of Rosh Yeshiva by the Tsar. He turned it down. In fact, that's when he left Vilna, never to return to Vilna, as it were. You don't say no to the Tsar, especially then. In any event, this notorious Beis Medrash LaRabbanim was a school for Haskalah. It was really established by the Maskilim together with the Russian government, and the Russian government had a very clear purpose. It was to get all these Jews to convert to Christianity, which is by and large what happened. A vast number of graduates of this alleged rabbinic school became Mishumadim, very famous Mishumadim, as a matter of fact. Anyway, one of the graduates of the school wrote a history of the school, and a history of the graduates, and describes what life was like in the yeshiva in the 1840s. And I'm going to read to you one paragraph. Now, I want you to have a picture of this institution. Ishun sigaria grua b'shabbat v'achilat naknik chazir pasul shebpsulin. So they used to smoke on Shabbos and they ate treif, but that they did in secret, the Talmidim, because there were mashgichim in the yeshiva, so they couldn't do it openly. It was done by min tekes chagigi. They actually did this as a the kind of celebration. היה זה ניהיליזם מן הסוג הגס ביותר. היהדות המסורתית נחשבה למחנה האויב, וכל האמצעים היו קשרים מלחם בעלוי. Students in the institution, together with the faculty of the institution, saw it necessary to fight traditional Judaism. בבחינה זו היו תלמידי בית המדרש לרבנים עצם מעצמה של תנועת ההשכלה, they were already members of the Haskalah movement, בגילויה הרדיקליים ביותר. They were all part and parcel of the radical maskilim in Vilna. They were moderate maskilim in Vilna, but they were also radicals. Pruzhansky Misaper, one of the students of the yeshiva, in his memoirs writes, Pruzhansky Misaper, Eich Ziyafu Hu V'Chavirav, how they forged, he and his friends, Baskamatam U'Be'ezratam Shel Kalman Shulman, U'Moshe Rosenson, these are two distinguished graduates of the Beis Medrash L'Rabbanim. Rosenson converted to Christianity. Shulman became a famous Jewish historian. He learned in Volozhin as well. So several students, Baskamatam U'Be'ezratam, with the aid of these two distinguished graduates, Kalman Shulman and Moshe Rosenson, they forged Kruz Shel Rabbanei Vilna. They forged a poster signed by all the Rabbanim of Vilna, Sheitir Kaviyachol Machal U'Mashke B'Yom HaKippurim B'Mei HaCholira. They published posters all over Vilna saying you don't have to fast on Yom Kippur. And this was in 1848, the cholera epidemic. So you see there was more happening. And now you can begin to see why some of the stories incorporated these elements. Anyway. The account of Rabbi Yitzchak Lipkin, who says only that his father was matir eating pachos mikashir, is in perfect harmony with the account in Tukli Count 2, the testimony of the one eyewitness. Everybody else is hearsay. The one man who said he was there when it happened, Rabbi Shimon Strashun, who says very specifically he didn't make Kiddush, he didn't make a Bari Mina Mizonos, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter didn't break his fast at all. All he did was announce everybody could go out they felt the need, and eat pachos mikishir. That's the testimony of passage 2, and that's in perfect harmony with the testimony of the son who records what he heard from his father. And indeed, the Morei HaRoah were quick to criticize Rabbi Yisrael Salanter for his unilateral psak. He didn't consult them. And from their perspective, his mistaken psak, because they felt it was necessary to consult a doctor in these matters. And while I cannot be absolutely certain that I'm reconstructing this properly, but it seems to me, if you look at all the evidence, this seems to me the most reasonable explanation of what really occurred. And I might say, take a look now at the last passage on the page in front of you, which is quite amazing, and it seems to me it supports everything I'm saying, passage 5. This comes from the writings of Rabbi Tzalal HaKohen. This is, as you can see, from the Shelot Utshuvot Reshit Bikurim, Vilna, 1869. And we'll read a little part of it together. I'll start from the top. Reisi laskir bidvar, mashashoma, mashakosav hagon, which should be probably memshin chaf, mashakosav hagon balk samsof rizal, in his Shailos and Chuvis. I'm quoting here a passage from the Shailos and Chuvis of the Chsam Sofer. You'll find this in volume 6 of the Chuvis of the Chsam Sofer. Simon Chaf Gimul. Im Yesh Lismoch Adas Amagen Avram Zal B'Simon Tuf Kuf Ayin Vav Sitkotun Beis Gam B'Tzom HaKippurim Zeh Chas V'Shal. In the Shulchan Aruch Chaim, there's a Simon that's referred to here that says that we fast for all sorts of reasons. There used to be times when we instituted fasts when Jews were persecuted by an enemy. We would institute a fast aside from the ordinary fast that we're all familiar with. And in that list of reasons why we might institute a fast, a one-time fast only, it says, when there's dever, when there's pestilence, we institute a fast. That's a siman in the Shulchan Aruch, that's Tovkuf Ayin Vav. And the Magen Avraham, a famous 17th century commentator on the Shulchan Aruch, rules over there that we no longer fast. Even though it says in the Shulchan Aruch we should fast if we're confronted with a pestilence, he says, we don't fast anymore with a pestilence because doctors inform us that fasting is dangerous when there's a pestilence. We're only making our bodies weaker, and therefore we have less resistance of the epidemic, and so we no longer fast whenever there's an epidemic. So it says in that in the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, that's referring to fasting specifically because an epidemic has started somewhere in the community, and you're fasting so as if you're doing tshuva before God, so to make sure that the epidemic doesn't continue. Somebody sent a letter to the Chasam Sofer with the request, does this mean that we no longer fast on Tisha B'Av, or we no longer fast on any of the four required fasts, or even Yom Kippur, if there happens to be a cholera epidemic? That was the question that was asked of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer's answer was unequivocal, of course not. All that meant was that we don't initiate a new fast, and perhaps one of the four fasts that are the Rabbanon, we might perhaps decide, given the circumstances, not to allow the fast, but of course it doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, which is the position that's going to be taken now by Rabbi Tzalwa Cohen. Now let's read it together. Heinoleinu lohodia hadavar hagodol hazeh ledoros olam, I need to publicize forever that everybody should know, Be'ezus Hashem asher bitlas zimnei, Havi chazaka. We have a general rule in halacha, anything that happens three times is a chazaka. It's an established principle and rule. May alofim urevavos anoshim v'noshim, about the tens of thousands and thousands of Jews in Vilna, asher todos leil, thank God, his anu kulam b'tzom hagodol, they all fasted on Yom Kippur. B'yom hakipurim, d'shnas tof kuf tzadi beis, tof reish tes, that's our cholera epidemic, 1848, the tof reish chaf zayin, there were three cholera epidemics in the lifetime of Rabbi Tzalwa Cohen. And he lists them, and he says, in all three, we all fasted, b'chol medinaseinu us, throughout our city, v'lo kora lahem kora chalila, nobody got sick, v'no dazos kemat b'chola olamaz, we were careful, we didn't suspend the fast day of Yom Kippur, v'ein lanu dover shenizbayer b'nisayon b'emes yoser godel mizeh, so we can learn from experience, we've proven it, that we fasted on Yom Kippur, and nobody was harmed, v'no dazos, all those who were involved in the mitzvah of Pikuach Nefesh. And by the way, Rishol Salanter was the head of the committee, the life-saving committee. He didn't start Erev Yom Kippur. Once before Yom Kippur, he was head of the committee in charge of confronting and addressing the cholera epidemic of 1848, and he succeeded. Anyway, here's the testimony of Rabbi Tzalil that despite Rabbi Yisrael Salanter getting up and announcing that whoever needs to should go and eat pachos mikvashir, everyone fasted. Nobody listened. Everyone fasted. Let's read a little further. Shabiyom tzom begivurim lo nachul shum odam chasu sholem al yedei tzom haklal. Skip the parentheses. Valkein, imki bedat lal tzomos de oz chasu. It could be true that for the four fasts, like Sora Beteves and so on, that perhaps we would suspend the fast in the light of a cholera epidemic. But we don't suspend the fast in the light of a Yom Kippur. And unless, of course, you consult a doctor. And then if the doctor allows you to eat, then you eat. Now, again, as I say, well, I can't be absolutely certain that I've interpreted the text correctly. I'm pretty confident this is what happened in light of all the evidence. And I certainly can't take seriously the treatment in making of a gadol. I'd like to conclude on an ethical note with a further quote from Rishol Salanter, since we're talking about him. In the same book by Yaakov Mark, a wonderful passage which goes as follows. You'll help me again with the Yiddish. A short passage. It says, Amol ois gefallen, de zweite Tag Rosh Hashanah Freitag. It once happened that the second day of Rosh Hashanah fell on a Friday, as it sometimes happens. Und wie der Stegel ist, and as it is the practice, Zucht min lechovit Shabbos mekatzis zayin in the piyutim. When the second day of Rosh Hashanah falls on a Friday, we try to shorten the service a little bit so that people can have a break between the second day of Rosh Hashanah and get ready for Shabbos. So they, how do you do that? You omit the poetic, the poetry in the Machzor. And needless to say, the Machzor is filled with poetry for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Da hat man gefragt bei Rabbi Yisrael, and so they went to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, welche min ken iberhippen? So they asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, which of the poems should they skip? Which piyutim? Hat er geantwortet, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter answered, as ye make chotsch alle piyutim, He said, you can skip all the piyutim, everything. Skip everything. Afilu nesana tokef. It's a piyut. You don't have to say nesana tokef. Right? Remember. Avalaman Hashem. But for God's sake, said Rabbi Yeshua Salanta. Then in the lange sticker piyut zwischen Malchus, Zichronis, and Shofas, those long poems in small print that we anyway skip, those long poems that separate the Malchios to the Zichronos and Shofros, which of course we recite before the Tekiyas, those long poems between the Brachos of Shmona Esrei that you must recite, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, Laman Hashem, but you must recite those long poems between these. Kedei der Chazen, so zich kennen abissel opruen. So the Chazen should have a little rest between the Nusach of the Tefillah. That was Rabbi Yeshua Salanter. Thank you very much.
It is. Ladies, we don't have anything else left except Mincha, so we'll take a few questions, and I'll thank everybody for staying. Most of us have stayed, and really thank our speakers for a very interesting thing. I don't know what I can go and believe anymore, but anyway. Yes, sir.
The question is, does Rabbi Sacks say anything about the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach? In Volume 1, that is in the first edition, zero. Nothing. However, in the second edition, all the passages I quoted were taken out, and in their place, he goes on and on about the importance of recognizing if people follow the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Noach, then that we have to respect their lifestyle. But none of that appears. And he claims that he says in the introduction, I can't imagine that people would accuse me of saying something. They know I'm an observant Jew, so how could I not have accepted that? But the bottom line is, seeing is believing. The first edition of the book is in direct contradiction to the second edition. You can't make a circle out of a square. Well, since you bring that up, let me just also say something. Rabbi Sack, this book, though, was written for the non-Jews. Here's also a point that needs to be considered. This isn't a book written for the Jews, and it's sort of unfair, for the Haredim to come and attack him without speaking to him first, because we all know that when you write for the larger audience, you say things, you take a little liberties, without giving him the chance, without summoning him, without asking him to just come out and blow him out of the water and declare him an apostate. What's most significant, though, and this is pointed out by Jeffrey Alderman in his column in the Jewish Chronicle, is the fact that the chief rabbi of England was willing, because of what the Haredim said, to withdraw his book and issue a new edition, shows that the chief rabbi of England and his based in are not the leaders of English Orthodoxy anymore. He said it's the Rav of Gateshead. In fact, when the Dayan Arentrout, went to Eretz Yisrael to meet with Rav Yoshev, he couldn't meet with him, and Rav Rakov, who passed away recently, but he went the week later. He met with Rav Yoshev and came back with this letter, which they plastered in all their newspapers, declaring Sacks invalid. So there's more here than meets the eye as well. There's a lot of politics, yes.
Okay. Any question we can do on a private basis. I want to thank everybody. If you cancel out the evaluation forms, reminder, December 25th, you can sign up now, actually. If you want tapes, you can sign up. We can get them. And thank you very much, and have a good day.